Well, what a wonderful day to be alive. God is good. So, I want to start out by just quickly reading through Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David, and he went there to register with Mary, who was engaged to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. A manger, for the children in the room, is a feeding trough. And there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They were ranchers. And the angel came to the ranchers and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and his name is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And then suddenly, a great group of heavenly hosts, angels, came and sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And then the angels left and went to heaven, and the shepherds said, "Let's go see what's going on down in Bethlehem." And they hurried off, and they found Mary and the baby, and they fell down on their knees and they worshiped him. So this is why we're celebrating today. Okay? This is why we're celebrating Jesus' birth. But why do we give presents? My favorite part about Christmas is the presents. It really is, yeah. But you know what? It's not just getting them. I actually prefer giving them. That's more fun for me. Especially if I can surprise Pastor Steve. And I got two things this year that I'm hoping will surprise him. I'm hoping he will like. I know they will be surprises, but it's always, you never know if he's going to like them. Okay? Because he didn't ask for them. See, usually he buys his own presents and he says, "Here you go. You can wrap this up for me. This is what I want." Okay? So, you know, he's gonna be getting some "Hey Dudes" later. All right? For those of you that are like, don't get that, "Hey Dudes" are a kind of shoe that's like really hip now, okay? But I got him two presents that I hope he will like that are surprises. Usually I try to go with something that I think he needs because he's a man and they like that more than they like getting something they don't need. But the reason we give gifts is partly because the wise men gave gifts. So in Matthew 2, okay, that's a little too far. Don't want to go back to Malachi. In Matthew 2, it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, during the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is this one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east have come to worship him.' And then King Herod was very disturbed, and all of Jerusalem was disturbed. And he called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they said, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for that's what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' So when Herod called the Magi back, and he secretly found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report back to me, because I want to come and worship him. Not, okay? So they brought presents to Jesus, but they didn't bring presents to a baby, because the star had appeared almost 2 years before they got there. Okay? They traveled 900 miles to get to, from where they were, to get to Bethlehem. That's like walking from here to Miami. Okay? So like that's past where, Aiden and Lucas and Zane's grandparents live in Georgia. This is like the farthest part of, the contiguous U.S. except for like Key West. So they traveled this far. It was a long time and a long way to go. I forgot to set my timer. Sorry, guys. Okay. Sorry. All right. So it was a long way to go, but they brought presents. Okay. I have a present up here. Harley, would you mind coming up? Do you want to open this present for us, please? Yes, it's not just a prop. There's something in it. Go ahead. So this present is all pretty and nice, right? Okay. It's actually a present. Oh, I can imagine on Christmas morning. Is this what she does on Christmas morning too? Really slow, or is like the paper ripped and shredded and it's gone? I'm not saving the paper. It's okay. There you go. All right. Want to see what's inside? I'm going to show everybody what we got. What is it?
Carrots.
Not so bad, right? It's not a bad gift. It's not the best, but it's not bad. You want to go around, let at least give all of the kids some carrots. They can all have some, and if any of the adults want some, they can have some too, okay? Huh? Sorry. No. It wasn't that good of a gift. All right. So while she's passing those out, all right. So, I know, right? What can I say? So, the wise men brought these three really great gifts. They were beautifully wrapped, okay? But these gifts were actually important gifts. They were symbolic in some ways of some of the things in our faith. Okay, thank you, Harley. Oh, you got them? Okay, thanks. So some theologians believe that, well, first of all, we know that gold is representative of royalty, wealth, and power. And some theologians feel like this, it was reflective of the wise men recognizing the kingship of Jesus. And some of them feel that the gold also provided for the travel expenses that Joseph and Mary and Jesus would have in fleeing from Bethlehem to Egypt. Frankincense was one of the other ones. And frankincense was actually even considered more valuable than gold because it was so rare and it had so many uses. But it signifies or symbolizes deity and priesthood, holiness and righteousness, religious offering. It was often used in religious ceremonies. And theologians also believe that this is symbolic of Jesus' sacrifice for us. And the last one they brought was myrrh. And it's, again, it's also a resin. It's also an ointment. It's also a spice. And it symbolizes purification. It was actually used to purify things, but it was also used for embalming and burial. And some theologians also feel that this is sort of a foreshadowing, a hint at the fact that Jesus will eventually die and be buried, his physical body. So those three gifts were brought, okay? But there was another gift. Didn't look so great. Kind of okay. Aiden, you want to come open it? Plain box. What do we got in there? What is it?
Candy.
Candy. Whoa, that's a little better than carrots, isn't it? Go ahead and share it out with everybody. Okay. I wrap this way to represent how much more of a gift Jesus is to us than all of those gifts that he was given. Yes, uh-huh. I know that that's going to go a long way. Okay, when we look at Romans 6:23, we learn that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus, our Lord. He is our gift. At Christmas time, we celebrate the gift that is Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9 says that we are to be thankful for the surpassing grace of God that was given to us. And thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Candy fight in the back. Brothers. Ephesians 2 says that we are seated with Christ and that we have the incomparable riches of his grace because we are saved by grace, which is the gift of God. So being saved by grace, Pastor Steve talked about that whenever he was doing communion. Grace is something we didn't earn. We get it because he loved us. That's the only reason. He cared enough, God cared enough, and he loved us, and he sent Jesus for us. So, yes, Pastor Steve shared with us that all we have to do is surrender to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you to take me and forgive me. But sometimes I think we feel like we have to get ourselves all cleaned up first. I was reading a devotional. It was about dogs. You know I love dogs. Cats are okay. They're passable. But dogs are the best, you know. It's just a fact of life. It's the way it is. Thank you, Aiden. But the story was one of this dog that this family rescued. And they found this dog trying to survive in the carcass of a dead deer. Thankfully, they had a pickup truck. Must have had a cab on the back of it or something because they stuck it in the back. It was really bad. Like, it smelled worse than anything that they had. But they took this dog home. They still rescued it, even though it smelled horrible. They got it home, and they gave it a bath, and they made it a part of its family, of their family. And God does that with us. He takes us however we come. In whatever form we are in, no matter how filthy we are. And he brings us in. He rescues us. He pays the ransom for us. He buys us back. And then he cleans us up. We don't have to clean ourselves up. We don't have to have the church clean us up. We as the church don't need to clean them up. God does it himself. It's what Jesus died for, so that we could be free from our sins. So today, We celebrate the gift of Jesus. That gift that God gave to us that is so much better than anything that we could get or give to each other, right? Chocolate's a lot better than carrots, right? Yeah, right? Yeah. So let's just take a moment to thank our Heavenly Father for this gift that He's given us. So Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for giving us the gift of Your only Son, that no matter what we smell like and no matter what we look like and no matter how many mistakes we've made, You still want us. You still want to rescue us, and all we have to do is say yes. And we thank You so much for Your love and Your care. In Jesus' name, amen.